Blog Talk Radio.
Summer is the season for all kind of conventions and conferences in the African American community. We'll highlight two recently held meetings held in New Orleans and Nashville, respectively, two very hot cities, I should say. The National Association of Black Journalists National Convention was held in New Orleans, and the 49th quadrennial session of the General Conference of the African Methodist Episcopal Church was held in Nashville, Tennessee. With thousands of members in attendance, NABJ and the AME General Conference are examples of black leadership in action. This is Carol Copeland Thomas, and you're listening to Focus on Empowerment. Hello, my friends. I'm glad to be back on the air. This is Carol Copeland Thomas, and you're listening to Focus on Empowerment. It has been a whirlwind for me. I started off with a board meeting for a hospitality or hotel organization that I belong to, and then took off for Nashville, Tennessee, a very hot Nashville, Tennessee, for the quadrennial session, the 49th quadrennial session for the AME Church General Conference. We're going to talk about that during the second half of the session. Wherever you happen to be, I hope it's cool. It's nice and pleasant here in the Boston area in the 80s or so, which I think is just relatively wonderful because Nashville, Tennessee was 100 plus degrees every day we were there. It was really hot, but a great conference. And in New Orleans, it was probably also very hot, and we're going to talk with our guest in just a few minutes about the National Association of Black Journalists conference that they held down there, headed by Greg Lee, a very dear friend who is the senior writer-editor for the Boston Globe sports section. He is the national president of NABJ. But we're going to talk to Kelly Chung, who is a journalist, award-winning journalist, and a veteran in terms of community activism. She's going to bring us up to date on all of the activities that took place with NABJ in New Orleans. I'm excited on two fronts. Number one, we are getting lots of excitement and curiosity about our 2013 cultural cruise that will take place in April. Get your bags packed. Get your passport ready. We're getting ready to cruise culturally with our wonderful April 13th to the 20th cruise on the celebrity series, The Reflection Ship, that is hasn't even launched yet. It's going to be brand new, and we take onto the high seas in April of next year. You can find out all the information. Start saving your money now. It's just a very small $250 deposit, and then you can just allocate monthly payments until your bill is paid, and you can travel and sail with us. Dr. Ada McKenzie is going to bring us highlights on the trip about the various Caribbean islands, their cultures, their traditions, and the three islands that we're going to visit, Puerto Rico, St. Martin's, and St. Kitts. All the information, the agenda, the fact sheet, the form that you can fill out and send in to my travel agency, it's all at the website, www.mssconnect.com. That's mssconnect.com. You can go there, find out the information, put down your deposit, and come board a wonderful cultural experience that we're going to have next April, starting off in Miami. Actually, the ship will leave from Miami, so no matter where you live, just get down to Miami, and you can start on this great trip with us. Secondly, I am excited because I debuted my new book at the Quadrennial Conference, the General Conference of the AME Church. I'm excited. We'll talk to you more about that a little later on, 21 Ways to Bring Multiculturalism to Your Job, Your Home, and Your Community. And I'm off and running, had wonderful book sales down there, lots of interest, and I will be traveling around the country and hopefully outside of the country with book signings for the next several months. We're excited now. We're going to just flip the script and talk about NABJ, what it is, what they do, the importance that they have. If you see an African-American journalist on television, or if you read the newspaper and you see their face, or any of the online technologies, blogs, chances are they are members of NABJ. And joining us now is an award-winning journalist. She is a member, longtime affiliate member of NABJ, the National Association of Black Journalists. She's based in Boston, celebrated 20 years in her profession. A little while ago, a wonderful, wonderful celebration. Kelly Chung, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, Carol, and thank you for having me on. Much appreciated.
Certainly, certainly. Tell us about NABJ, the highlights of the convention, how many people were there?
Well, just for the record, I am a recovering, you might say, TV news broadcast journalist who now has a public relations and marketing consulting business that focuses on multicultural and cause-related marketing.
Great.
So I am now, as you noted, an affiliate member of the National Association of Black Journalists, or an associate member, as they call it, which takes in PR professionals like myself, freelancers, photographers, and so forth. There were about 2,200 plus of us who convened in the city of New Orleans a couple of weeks ago. So it was a very robust group of journalists and communications professionals from around the country, and in fact, a few from outside of the country.
Great. Great. And I've actually been, I went a couple of years ago to the NABJ conference when they had it in Atlanta. I've been to the Unity conference when NABJ was a part of the Unity collaboration with the Hispanic and Asian American journalists. I understand that they've departed from that relationship and are solo now. What was the highlight for you? 2,200 journalists, my goodness, I can imagine all of the topics of conversation, the issues that black journalists face. What was a central theme of this particular conference, Kelly?
Well, I certainly think the two primary themes were the convention theme, which was NABJ 12, new platforms, new directions, New Orleans, which really reflects the turmoil and the changes in the profession of journalism and how best journalists can cope and continue in the profession or transition into other kinds of communications platforms. So I think that one of the other themes of the convention was getting journalists to think more entrepreneurially, which is certainly something both of us can understand.
Oh, yeah.
With the changes in the profession. So how do you use some of the other social media platforms, for example, to tell stories and to communicate your messages and to continue in the profession, perhaps not as a traditional journalist, but as a digital journalist, if you will. So
you know,
an entrepreneurial track was jumped out at me.
What I found interesting, the convention that I've attended, and I'm on the mailing list. I'm going to rejoin in the next couple of weeks. But it's almost like old school, new school, and the old traditional print journalists who have done this for a long time. They've worked for maybe Associated Press or some of the major newspapers around the country. They are looking at journalism from a traditional perspective. Then you have the new media journalists who are bloggers or citizen journalists or contributors to CNN iReport or whatever, who are in the same space as these traditional journalists. Almost when I was there the last time, there was almost a clash where it was almost condescending, where the traditional journalists were looking down on new media. Is that the same way that's happening, or is there more of a collaboration between the two groups?
I think there's a more of a collaboration and a recognition on the part of traditional journalists that the world is changing, and you either have to change with it or you will be left behind. So there was a very strong social media track. There were professional development sessions, you know, there's video. I think there's more of an attention to video in combination with the traditional print coverage of the convention that has happened over time. So one of our colleagues, Michelle Johnson from Boston University, is one of the student mentors and helps with the publication of a daily paper that comes out kind of summarizing the main convention activities for that particular day.
Uh-huh.
And now that, of course, has migrated to online, so if listeners wanted to really get a day-by-day, blow-by-blow description of the convention, they could go to nabjconvention.org. And they would find, you know, the stories that came out of the convention, as well as television, you know, video coverage, et cetera.
Give us that website again, nabjconvention.org.
You got it.
Okay.
All caps.
All caps.
Yeah.
Excellent. Was there a speaker, a headline speaker at the convention delivering a particular message to the audience, Kelly Chung?
Was there a speaker? Well, we need more time to go through some of the speakers, but I guess key among them was Vice President Joe Biden, who really talked about the themes of the election, which of course is now in high gear, and how, as I'm sure your listeners know, it really is all about the economy and the status and the future of the middle class, and how that the impact of the economy on America's middle class will in turn have a domino effect on the poor.
Mm-hmm.
So those were some of the key themes that he expressed. And just as an aside, unfortunately, Greg Lee, who you noted from the Boston Globe, is the president of NABJ, because he had lost his voice.
Oh.
He was able to introduce Vice President Biden the opening night of the convention, but the following day, when Mayor Landrieu of New Orleans officially opened up the convention with a plenary session, Greg had lost his voice
the
night before and was not able to introduce the mayor of New Orleans, but Greg was able to introduce the vice president. I think
he was probably fit to be tied. This is his first, I guess, official conference as president.
Yes.
Oh gosh.
Yeah.
So
I'm sure he was.
For him.
Yeah. He was frustrated, but I think while Vice President Biden concentrated on the economy and the President Obama's domestic agenda, Mayor Landrieu really focused on the aftermath of Katrina in a general sense, but really more specifically what is happening with regard to black men and violence, not only in the city of New Orleans, but across the country. And I think that was one of the other themes, because it's, I think, important to note that NABJ is more than about, you know, career development and, you know, convening to party with a purpose. That it was originally founded around issues of advocacy, both within the profession, trying to bring more journalists of color into the field of journalism, but also focus on issues, on social issues, many of them issues of social justice. So the whole piece around what is happening to black men, violence in our community, was very much one of the themes. And so Mayor Landrieu's address to the opening session of the convention was very on point. And, you know, while he, of course, was a cheerleader for his city, he didn't flinch from the impact that the violence is having on the city. So
right.
I thought that was memorable. And I guess along those lines, I should note that the parents of Trayvon Martin and their lawyer, attorney Crump, they were also there and were on a panel really talking about the impact of the media on their ability to get the issue of Trayvon Martin's killing on the front burner, and
actually,
also the impact on their family, you know, on
right.
you know what it's meant for them, because they are not, you know, they're not celebrities.
Yes.
And it Al Sharpton, Reverend Sharpton, was what spoke preceding their panel, and he kind of advised the media to be cognizant of the fact that they're a grieving family,
right.
and you know this was kind of thrust upon them. This isn't media attention that they sought. And
I think the important thing also is with that said, we've actually done a program, two programs on Trayvon Martin. We will continue to do it as the trial progresses with his alleged killer. And but also the important thing is that that story became a national story because of social media. Social media and the various networking platforms, Facebook, et cetera, actually exposed what had happened. Otherwise, that would have been a very sleepy case, and George Zimmerman would have gotten off. So the power of social media, I think it's very apropos that the parents and the attorney of Trayvon Martin were attending and actually spoke at your conference, because
mm-hmm.
it has everything to do with social media, very much so. Tell us a little bit about, in a few minutes, about your business and how we can get in touch with you, Kelly Chung.
Well, our business, as I noted earlier, focuses on multicultural and cause-related public relations and marketing. And as you noted, Carol, we just celebrated our 20th anniversary. So we look at social issues that are related to, say, health, such as anti-smoking or different kinds of awareness having to do with health issues, including breast and cervical cancer. We do work in the social and economic development space, highlighting revitalization of communities of color. And we also do some work in the arts and cultural space as well. You can find us, my Twitter handle is at Kelly Chun. K-E-L-L-E-Y-C-H-U-N-N. And you can also find my website, www.kellychun.com. So we encourage people to get in touch with us, and we are looking forward to, I don't know, I hesitate to say another 20 years, but we plan on
Why
being around for
enough?
A while.
That's right. You're young enough, and nobody's retiring these days anyway. So
you
yeah,
got
another
that
20
right.
years.
No retiring here.
Kelly Chung, thank you so much. We'll have you back on from time to time, bringing us up to date on journalist issues related to the community, and certainly civic engagement. Really appreciate you coming on board.
Thanks for having me, Carol. Enjoy the rest of the summer, both you and your listeners.
Thank you. All right, Kelly Chung, talking about NABJ. We're going to switch gears and talk about the convention that I attended, a church that is near and dear to my heart. I was born into the African Methodist Episcopal Church. My roots go back to the 1800s when the church was founded, and I'm actually looking in the 2008 Book of Discipline, a book I've had for quite some time. They actually update this book every 4 years, and I'll tell you about the convention in just a few minutes. But the proud moment for me just looking through this book for 2008, on page 9 and page 10 are listed my relatives. You see, I have two bishops in my family who were bishops in the AME Church. Number 16, the 16th bishop of the AME Church on page 9 is Wesley John Gaines. He was born in Georgia, and he was consecrated a bishop in 1888 during one of those wonderful general conferences during that era. He served for 24 years, and then he had a nephew who was the 47th bishop of the AME Church, born in Georgia, consecrated in 1924, and served for 7 years, Abraham Lincoln Gaines. And in less than 2 weeks, the Gaines family will be here in Boston for our family reunion. It's going to be an exciting time. We will talk about not only our ancestors, but who we are as a family and the importance of the AME Church. And big shout out to my daughter, Michelle Thomas, because she is the organizer and the official host of our family reunion. We'll have family members who will come from all over the United States, all part of the Gaines family, and we are entrenched in the AME Church. My daughter, along with our younger members of the family, are all taking over our family reunions. We believe in passing the baton, the leadership, on to others, and so she will be taking that over. And I went into that because the AME Church represents many, many family groups of very, very proud people who are very proud Methodists. When I was in the session yesterday before I bolted to catch my plane back from Nashville, very hot, 100-degree weather, back to Boston, one of the members of the leader of the Episcopal Committee, because the Episcopal Committee is the main body that oversees the bishops and makes the bishop assignments throughout the United States and beyond with our 20 districts. And he said that we are not a congregational church. We are a Methodist church, and we have a method in all that we're doing and a process. And so for one solid week, I was in Nashville with 10,000 in the room, 20,000 out of the room, milling around, shopping, doing other things. There were about 30,000 people at that conference, learning about the process of the African Methodist Episcopal Church. Every 4 years, going back to 1816, when our church was incorporated, was actually founded in 1787, right around the time of the Revolutionary War, with Richard Allen as one of our founders, the founder that we recognize and celebrate. But from 1816 on, the entire church comes together every 4 years for a general conference. So contrary to the belief that some people have that our church is a church that started very recently, no, our church goes back to the Revolutionary War time. And this was the 49th General Conference, the 49th quadrennial session of the General Conference that was held in Nashville, Tennessee. The theme was Exalting Christ to Impact the World. The highlight for me was hearing Michelle Obama live. She was one of our speakers. She was actually our opening speaker. The room was packed, 10,000-plus people, 9,000-plus people in the room. And she delivered a spellbinding message, a message that resonated not only with us who are church people, but the importance of civic engagement. I was so struck by it because it tied in so well with chapter 22 of my book, which talks about becoming a diversity champion. In the coming weeks, we'll tell you more and more about the book. You can buy it online at Amazon.com, and we'll give you all that information. But her message was really a message of hope, inspiration, encouragement to those of us, church people, about the jobs that we have to do in our respective communities, not just in our churches, but how we need to reach out to people who don't vote, people who don't understand the importance of their vote, people who need to get involved in civic engagement so that we can take our religious practices and our advocacy to the next level. And the AME Church has always been involved in civic engagement and activism. So that conference, this conference, the General Conference in Nashville, started on the 27th. Actually, there were meetings probably a day or two before for a lot of the dignitaries and delegates. But it actually ended yesterday around 12:45 or so with the Episcopal Committee, who marched in and then announced where the various 20 bishops were going to be placed and located around the world. I am part of the first district, and we had Bishop Richard Franklin Norris, a wonderful, wonderful leader who served our district for a total of 8 years. You can only serve for 8 years, and then you have to move on. And now he is going to be in the 7th Episcopal District in South Carolina. The 1st District is made up of a number of different states: Massachusetts, Connecticut, Rhode Island. There's 7 areas: Western New York, Philadelphia, New Jersey, Philadelphia, the birthplace of the AME Church, New York. And so 7 different conferences all make up the annual conference series of the 1st District. Well, the 7th District, South Carolina, is one state. There are so many AME churches in South Carolina that they represent one state. There are a total of 20 districts in the AME conference, the AME Church Connection, should I say. We are a connectional church. So every 4 years, the General Conference convenes, and they literally take apart this book I'm looking at, this book of discipline, which includes all of the policies, procedures, regulations of running and operating the local churches, the district-level activities, the conference-level activities, and the like. And they change things and modify things, et cetera. One of the things that was interesting was yesterday or the day before, I get my days mixed up, there's a policy in the discipline, the book of discipline, that deals with divorce. And it goes back to traditional thoughts of divorce, where a minister was looked down on if he divorced and had a living spouse. And in some cases, they had language in there where leaders were expelled from the AME church. Well, they read that old part out, and the whole building just shook in laughter and just howled, and oh my goodness. So the decision was made. They voted. There are over 1,000 delegates who are elected and chosen and represent the main body, the voting body of the General Conference. And so they voted to take that passage out of the Book of Discipline. And then they voted on many, many other bills. Many things were taken care of in terms of the limitations for itinerant ministers who start their ministry. They traditionally have had to start their ministry prior to their 50th birthday. Now they raised it to the 60th birthday. And just a bill after bill after bill were literally read out loud and then voted upon. What I was very proud of was the use of technology at this conference. Very tech savvy. Traditionally, our election procedure with electing our bishops, and we elected 2 bishops, we elected Clement Few, who was the general secretary of the AME Church, a learned man, has a PhD, practiced, he was a minister in Nashville, just a wonderful person, and Reverend Reginald Jackson, who is now Bishop Jackson, who I've known for a long time, 30 years, again, solid minister, leader in New Jersey. Those 2 were elected bishops, and they were elected by using technology. Now, they've had voting machines in the past. 30 years ago when I went to Kansas City, they voted with paper ballots. It took 2 days, 6 a.m. in the morning. They weren't finished voting, and then finally, you know, hours later they were finished, and there were backroom deals and all that kind of stuff. Well, that now is diminished with tablets, so that you're sitting in this big room. The vote comes up on the screen. The delegates then use their tablets to vote A, B, C, or 1 or 2, yes or no, whatever the actual policy was. And then literally seconds later, the votes are tabulated and they're up on the screen, and you know whether your candidate won or lost or your bill passed or didn't pass. And they had a blogging going on, so I would suggest that you go to ame-church.com. You can learn all about the General Conference, all about the AME Church, and as we're talking about with NABJ, technology is here to stay, even in our churches. Have a great week. We'll come back. We have a wonderful, exciting guest all summer long. Come back next week, and we will share exciting tips about empowerment with you. This is Carol Copeland Thomas, and empowerment begins when you believe in yourself. Have a great week or weekend. We will see you next week.